Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Ice Storm Tuesday edition. So be careful if you're listening to me in southern Wisconsin out there on Devil Radio or perhaps WAUK 540 AM or the Shaw 101 FM. Hell, even WTTN 1580 AM. All those stations affected by winter icy conditions. Well, not as bad as it was earlier today, but it's still bad. It ain't done yet, so be careful out there. And I want to, you know, sort of point out to the conservatives, and I already turned on the radio this morning and I was hearing the case that, you know, this never would happen when Donald Trump was the president over on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. No, specifically, Putin didn't invade anyone during Trump's presidency. But they were kind of attached at the hips. There was that whole, you know, cooperation, perhaps coordination. I know, oh, it's all been disproven, the Mueller report. No, it hasn't. Go read the Mueller report. Go look at the reporting of Manafort giving inside polling information during Trump's campaign to Kilimnik to try and repay a debt. Something like $15 million? Manafort was motivated. Now, the Russians just happened to be the vehicle of trying to make himself whole. But ultimately, you know, A, Pooty Poot basically controlled Donald Trump. I mean, if you recall the Michael Cohen, what we know that Cohen lied to Congress about, in part, was the fact that Donald Trump was actively seeking to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. It's going to give Pooty Poot the cherry on top, if you'll recall. So we hear these ridiculous assertions. At least I found them ridiculous. Oh, Trump was so strong. Trump was so unpredictable. This never would have happened if Trump was the president. Well, maybe not, but for entirely different reasons, because Trump was effectively an ally of the Russians. You didn't want to make him look bad before the election. Steve Schmidt, he campaign chaired John McCain's campaign. He's often a contributor now on, you know, the very liberal MSNBC. But National Review editor-in-chief Rich Lowry tweeted out that Putin likely made, you know, the invasion plan because Trump is out of office and the Russian strongman was frightened by the ex-president's unpredictability. Now, Steve Schmidt responded with a scathing response, at least according to this reporting. I'm trying to kind of skip ahead here for you folks. Steve Schmidt, who let Lowry know in no uncertain terms that he regards Trump as, and here's the quote, a whore who would sell out his country, her values, and ideals for nothing but flattery. A whore, I tell you. As Lowry sees it, the sheer unpredictability of Trump, his anger at being defied or disrespected, his willingness to take the occasional big risk, the Soleimani strike, all had to make Putin frightened or wary of him in a way that he simply isn't of Joe Biden. Schmidt begged to differ in a tweet storm that began. This is a worldview I have never understood. Trump is the most predictable person in the world. He's as predictable as the sun setting in the west and rising in the east. There is no mystery around Trump. How could there be? The idea that Vladimir Putin was kept guessing by Trump is lunacy. He then added, what Putin saw was strategic incoherence shaped by a vast ignorance of the world. Trump fetishized the world strongmen and lambasted our allies. He was an indifferent to repression abroad. Let me say that again. He was as indifferent to repression abroad as he was to democracy at home. He was a buffoon set loose upon the stage, and everyone played their part. And then the end of the little tweet storm, Steve Schmidt. At the end, Schmidt took a failed swipe at the longtime National Review editor by writing, he, Trump, has blighted the culture for more than 40 tedious years. In all that time, it wasn't until he got to Washington, D.C. that he found Marx naive enough to believe there is an actual strategy at all. Did you get it, Rich Lowry? Trump wasn't unpredictable. There was no strategy. He was just a self-serving, what's the word? Whore. 844-967-2789. I hate this whole attack the current president over foreign policy before any of it's played out. We haven't seen the impact of the sanctions. We know that Putin basically had his mind set on the invasion of Ukraine. Well, he's been threatening that for a long time. What, suddenly Joe's the president? Because the last unpredictable strong man that we had as president, he's gone. So now Pooty Poot, he thinks he runs the world? Well, he's still got Trump cheering for him. He's still got right-wing talk radio cheering for him. And I mean both Putin and Trump in this case. It's ridiculous to my thought process that there are still conservatives, people of conscience out there in the world that somehow think that Trump made us safer. That is a ridiculous assertion. So anyways, if you don't want a piece of this conversation, I'm going to move on to more differing conversations. 844-967-2789. Another story, and this was a big expose that dropped at the New York Times last night. Clarence Thomas. You know Clarence Thomas. He was the one vote in the 8-1 vote to try and block the release of Donald Trump's records to the January 6th committee. Call that very recent ruling, Clarence. You know, the second black man to ever serve on the court behind Thurgood Marshall. Cut from entirely the same cloth, aren't they? Well, Clarence Thomas has this unique circumstance. He's married to Jenny Thomas. And historically speaking, first and foremost, Supreme Court justices, although they must make their own recusal decisions, historically they don't do, let's say, things like fundraisers for political parties. They're not supposed to be overly partisan. And as a rule, you know, all rules are made to be broken. Apparently in this case by Jenny, Mrs. Justice Thomas. The wives and the spouses, you know, they sort of step back from public life. They don't make themselves partisans. But now when you talk about the Clarence Thomas, Jenny Thomas marriage and the New York Times, a very comprehensive piece. I got to go to the raw story. We're going to do the abridged version while there's still time in this segment. Clarence Thomas network tied to efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. Is that troubling? A U.S. Supreme Court justice and his wife were trying to overturn the election results. And of course, had they been successful at any level, that case would have come before what? The U.S. Supreme Court, where the very same justice, Clarence Thomas, ruled, you know, in the minority, the 8-1 minority, that Trump had, you know, absolute immunity. And none of his records should ever be shared. He should be beyond reproach. Certainly from the January 6th committee. And hell, Jenny Thomas, his wife, well, she was a signatory on a letter written that said that, what, Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, those that would have the temerity of serving on the January 6th committee, well, they should be thrown from Congress. So anyways, here is the abridged version of this story. A network of people tied to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his wife went into action following the 2020 presidential election, according to the New York Times. The newspaper reported that a number of longtime friends and associates of the Thomases were either involved in legal efforts to overturn the election results or had helped to plan the January 6th rallies. The report focused on wife Jenny Thomas reporting, and here's a quote from the New York Times. It was after Trump's November loss that she would prove her loyalty beyond doubt when she and her group urged on efforts to overturn the election. New reporting also showed just how blurred the lines between the couple's interest became during the effort to overturn the 2020 election, which culminated in the rally held at the Ellipse just outside the White House grounds aimed at stopping Congress from certifying the state votes that gave Joe Biden his victory. Many of the rally organizers and those advising Trump had connections to the Thomases, But little has been known about what role, if any, Ginni Thomas played, beyond the fact that on the morning of the March to Save America, as the rally was called, she urged her Facebook followers to watch how the day unfolded, the newspaper reported. The deep dive report focused on Ginni Thomas, focused on Ginni Thomas's political activism. That's Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, apostrophe, because it's possessive. In the weeks after Trump's loss, court challenges began to pile up from his team, his allies, and even Republican lawmakers, the newspaper reported. By then, the network around the Thomases was lighting up. On December 10th, and I never knew this before, folks, a former Thomas clerk, again, Justice Thomas, his law clerks, and one of them is his close friend, John Eastman. And he went on the War Room podcast. That's what Steve Bannon, you remember Bannon, he was part of the January 6th as well. Eastman argued that the country was already at the point of constitutional crisis, and he urged the Supreme Court to intervene. Bannon eagerly agreed. The report noted Ginni Thomas was not only tied to Eastman and Bannon, but also Cleta Mitchell. Cleta Mitchell, I believe she's the lawyer from Foley and Lautner here in the state of Wisconsin that was, you know, moved on from practice with that fine firm, who was on the Trump January 2nd call trying to overturn the election results in Georgia. You know, the Trump call, the Raffensperger, I need 11,780 votes, that call. As an attorney, I wouldn't want to have been a part of that call. I might have distanced myself from that call, but, you know, I don't know all the finer points of the law and coup d'etats. Here is the, you know, the conclusion that I'm going to have time to share with you for now. Turning Point USA, on whose advisory board Ginni Thomas had served, was a sponsor of the January 6th event and provided buses for the attendees. A Supreme Court justice's wife helped to bus in the insurrectionist. Other sponsors included two more groups with which Ginni Thomas had long ties. One was the Tea Party Patriots, headed by Ginny Beth Martin, a fellow counsel for the National Policy Activists. The other was Women for America First, which held the permit for the rally at the Ellipse and was run by Amy Kremer, the newspaper reported. The spectacle of a Supreme Court justice's spouse talking to Facebook to champion the attempt of a defeated president to stay in power, as Ginni Thomas did on the morning of January 6th, crossed a line for several people in the Thomas's circle who talked to the New York Times. She wanted to overturn the outcome of the election. She is a Supreme Court justice's wife. He would preside over that very case if their mutual friend, John Eastman, who proposed what, martial law, seizing the voting machines? If Eastman, you know, Thomas's former clerk, had gotten his way, where's this court to go? This case is going to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's the only court that would have, you know, sovereignty over this case. I'm talking about the presidency of the United States. I see a little conflict here. Now, the New York Times reporting, much more comprehensive than when, I mean, it would take me the rest of the show to read the entirety of the article to you, and nobody wants that. But you can join us right now at 844-967-2789. We'll make some time for you. I got Vegas, Joe Zepacki joining me to, you know, co-devil for a bit at 4. Dom's coming later at 5. But again, your calls could be next. Devil's Advocates Radio show. Why can't I say show today? It's the third time I have stopped short of describing the greatest radio show ever as the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You could be a part, 844-96-PARTY.
It's times like these you give and give again. It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these time and time.